Okay, welcome back as we wrap up another week. Wow, next week is Thanksgiving week. It'll be a short week for all of working America. Most of you who will have a long 4-day weekend. Wow, should be a lot of fun. So enjoy it. Work hard Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then prepare to relax and truly give thanks for what we still have left here. And hopefully with the work of you wonderful people and others, we may be able to preserve what's left and retrieve what has been taken from us, or that which we have given up as a society. Well, in a way, it's, hate to say it, but it's not our fault, because no society in the history of the planet has ever been more manipulated, brainwashed, programmed, electromagnetically tricked, duped, and otherwise media bathed in such incredible, intense programming material as has this one. Plus the school systems, well, we've done all that before. You know what's going on. Have a very interesting program tonight with a man who has not been on here, but who has produced some, well, fascinating material. His name is Marshall Vian Summers. That's V-I-A-N. Last name S-U-M-M-E-R-S. And the two books we're primarily going to talk about are The Allies of Humanity, Book 1 and Book 2. Book 1 is subtitled An Urgent Message About the Extraterrestrial Presence in the World Today. Pretty much what everybody ought to know about E.T. contact, as reported in these two books. They're reports is what they are, and they're fascinating. Let me just read from the back cover a little bit to give you a better idea, and then we'll start in with our conversation with Marshall Summers. Over 12 years ago, a group of individuals from several different worlds gathered at a discrete location in our solar system near the Earth for the purpose of observing the alien visitation that is occurring here. From their hidden vantage point, they were able to determine the identity, the organization, and the intentions, most important, of those visiting our world and monitor those visitors' activities. This group of observers calls themselves the Allies of Humanity. That's Book 1. Book 2, the back cover, the greatest event in human history, the greatest threat to human freedom, and the greatest opportunity for human unity. This second set of briefings from the Allies of Humanity reveals that there is an extraterrestrial presence in the world today, and that it is not friendly visitation, but an intervention which threatens human freedom and self-determination. Why the intervention is happening and what it seeks to achieve are also addressed. What humanity needs to know to resist the intervention and establish its own rules of engagement for contact, both now and for the future. That humanity has allies in the universe who are calling for us to prepare for the great risks and opportunities of contact. That there is an unrecognized inner power which can enable you to see, to know, and to act with wisdom at this great turning point in our history. This is some pretty heady stuff. We're going to find out much more about that, so let's welcome Marshall Summers. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good tonight. Good to
good.
Be
good. Nice to have you along. Now, I've been doing this program. We're in our 12th year now. And certainly, as I mentioned to you when we spoke the other day, Dr. David Jacobs' work, The Threat, is one of the most important books out and one of the most important books ever released on the issue of ET visitation, the agenda going on here. And as you well know, David did not come to his conclusions willingly, happily, or with any plan in advance. It's where the data took him, which is what we call scientific research. Extraordinary work, an extraordinary man, and I'm very interested to hear about all of this. So why don't you, let's take it from the beginning and tell us who you are and how you got involved with this kind of work.
Well, I've been a spiritual teacher for the last 30 years, and for the last 20 of those 30 years, I've been receiving an extraordinary body of work with the assistance of a small group of dedicated students, a body of work unlike anything I had ever seen before or I'm familiar with currently, called the Greater Community Way of Knowledge.
OK, Okay, tell me who these the students are that helped you.
Well, I have my wife, and I have a few people who were participating in the reception of this information, which comes from an angelic source, and it ended up being delivered in 20 volumes and hundreds of recordings.
20 volumes?
That's right, and six of those volumes are now in publication. And in the middle of this whole 20-year process, or actually in the latter part of it, the Allies of Humanity briefings came as part of this whole communication. And as Dr. Jacobs, as you mentioned, was perhaps unwilling to follow that, follow the evidence where it really went, for me also it was very difficult to receive these briefings. One, they were from an extraterrestrial source, I think a very genuine communication from an extraterrestrial source, something I had never experienced before and was very different than the experiences that I'd had before. And the information itself was quite remarkable and quite shocking, frankly. The extraterrestrial phenomenon was something I was aware of, but it was not a focus of my work.
So it wasn't something you really spent a lot of time with?
Oh, no. No. In fact, I really, other than certainly accepting the its reality, which always seemed very evident to me, I had no preconceived notions about it. I had not been involved in research or had taken sides in any debate, and I was just an open book for me. And so when the Allies' briefings came revealing their very remarkable information about the extraterrestrial presence, and certainly beyond that, the nature and interactions of intelligent life in our local universe, it was all new. It was really new to me. The only thing that prepared me for the Allies' briefings was the book Greater Community Spirituality, which I had received and brought into publication right before the Allies' briefings came into being, or actually during.
Right. Okay. When did these briefings occur? Over what period of time?
Well, the first set of briefings was given in 1997, and then an entire year later, the last four briefings in the first book were given in 1998. And then in December of 2000, all six briefings were given for the second book in a 24-hour period.
Wow. So describe for our listeners the mechanism by which this material came to you. Many people have different ways of putting themselves in a state of mind to receive material. How do you do it? And how did you, in 24 hours, retain and record that much data?
Well, I've been in preparation, I think, to do this for a very long time. And I mentioned we have 20 volumes that comprise the Greater Community Way of Knowledge. It took me about 4 or 5 years to be able to receive information that was new to me and also in this kind of volume. For example, the book Steps to Knowledge, which is the book of practices in learning a Greater Community Way of Knowledge, 500 pages long, and it was received in 14 days.
This I'm holding the book in my hand, and it was named Book of the Year by one prestigious organization.
Yes.
Spiritual Book of the Year. Say 14 days?
And in 14 days.
How do you do it, Marshall?
It was an incredible marathon. Well, first
you speak
of all,
into it. Do you record it? Do you speak
yes,
it
I
as you're getting it?
I am conscious during the process, which in a way makes things a little harder, but for me it's very important that I be able to receive information in a conscious state.
How do you suspend your ego and your judgment and your evaluation processes when this material is coming through you? Is that easy or hard?
Well, 20 years of spiritual work have helped me to be able to set aside my own mind.
I know even Edgar Cayce was at variance with his gift and would, in a conscious sense, in the beginning, he used to deny it. He said, this is something wrong here. It's not me. It's not my training. It's not my theology. And
yes.
It doesn't work.
Yes.
But yet he hung in there, and we have an incredible body of knowledge.
That's right.
Is this something that you hear and then you repeat, or is it something that is spoken through your physical body and then recorded at that point in time? How does it work?
Well, this is expressing this is always a little challenging for me. The angelic presence, which is really the bulk of my work, aside from the Allies briefing, it's an immense engulfing presence. It is something so complete that when it comes over you, you really have to be with that. And I think it took me, as I mentioned, many years to be able to be with that presence and to receive its voice. And then over that period of time, to be able to let that voice literally speak through me.
Understand.
And to record it, and then to transcribe those recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And then it requires some degree of editing, just because it ends up being hundreds of pages of a one sentence, you might say, a run-on sentence.
I get the picture, I do.
In other words, it's a stream, and so...
A stream of consciousness,
yes,
I understand.
So you really have to...
You got to format it, edit it, sure.
You have to format and edit it.
Yeah, well, okay, all right, we'll find out. This is most interesting material, to put it mildly. The books are The Allies of Humanity, Book 1 and Book 2, and if you click on Marshall Summers' name at the top of Rents.com, you go right to his website. There is a lot of material there, and I would urge you to stop by and visit. So let's enjoy this conversation, this journey tonight with Marshall Summers as it continues in just a couple minutes. Get right back to our guest, Marshall Summers. Books 1 and Books 2, The Allies of Humanity. Humanity, Unity, Freedom, and the Hidden Reality of Contact. And things aren't all roses, folks. We're going to find out a lot about this. Okay, you've, I think, eloquently explained how this works. We certainly have had, in all the years we've been here doing this program, experiences with others who have connected with other intelligence. This is not a big mystery to me how it happens. But selecting Marshall Summers as the outlet is of interest. Anybody suggest to you why that happened?
Well, certainly people have asked me why you, and some of them asked in a very critical or suspicious manner.
Oh,
but,
I know.
You know, it's still hard for me to answer that question, but I will say that if I look back on my life in hindsight, I can see that the rather inexplicable journey that I've been on has prepared me both mentally and emotionally to receive material of this nature. And as I mentioned earlier, The Allies was quite a shock to receive, but it ended up being a critical component to my understanding of the world and to the teaching that I've been asked to give. So I think that I'm probably very well suited for this. I'm a man who's been well educated but has no significant position in the world. I do not have to worry about my career being threatened. I'm in a position to receive and to give this gift with far few obstacles than perhaps with many other people would encounter. And I'm blessed to be married to a person who is Patricia, my wife, who is just the perfect companion for me to undertake a very difficult and unpredictable journeys such as the one that I've been on.
Well, you are a lucky man indeed. Not easy to find that.
Pardon?
Not easy to find somebody like a match like this anymore.
I think that when you really catch on to what you're here to do, which is always hard to define at the beginning, because you just have the beginning of it, it sets into motion a calling for certain people to try to find you and for you to try to find them. And in order for that to happen, you really have to leave many things behind. You have to bring yourself into the open. And at the moment when this occurs, it can be extremely confusing because you feel this kind of movement, this undercurrent in your life, and yet it doesn't make any sense to your plans, your goals, your current relationships. But I was able to follow that power, sometimes with great trepidation. And it brought my wife to me, and she came to hear me give a talk, actually, in San Francisco. I was giving a talk in San Francisco titled Finding the Perfect Person.
Yeah.
And here she was in the front row of a large audience.
Well, that's where else
so
would she be
but the front row? So there's a humor to it all, too, certainly, mm-hmm. if you look back and you see how certain things fall into place.
Yeah. Nice. Well, good. All right, I'll next time I'm in a crowded auditorium, I'll look in the front row.
You look in the front row.
Yeah, all right. The Allies of Humanity, an urgent message about the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. All right, the material came through again in, a total of three sessions.
That's right.
Let's talk about book one. Let's first of all, this is a group that came together to observe who was coming and going and messing, I guess, with our planet and our species. Did these people identify themselves in the material?
No, not individually. And they also do not identify their home world. And they explain, both in book one and book two, why this is so, that mm-hmm. they're really spying on the intervention that is occurring in this world. And for their presence to be discovered, for their home worlds to be determined, would cause great problems for them. They're basically a small group of observers who are sent to observe the intervention that is occurring in our world mm-hmm. over a period of time and to determine the nature of this intervention, who's participating, and given the opportunity to do so, to provide a report to us, to humankind, to alert us and to educate us about what is really taking place behind the scenes. Because
Is this galactically okay for them to do? Are there hands-off rules or any of that that you've run across?
Well, the intervention that's taking place within the world today is uh-huh. not galactically approved, and that's uh-huh. why it's operating in a surreptitious and secretive manner. And as we go into the Allies' material in our conversation, I can explain certainly more of why that is the case or what's been revealed.
All right.
But I think the Allies realize that given that we're all earthbound, physically earthbound at least,
yeah.
that there's certain things we need to know about life in our galactic neighborhood and the universe around us, and that we're not in a position to know these things.
Right.
And without knowing these things, we could make some very fatal errors in discernment regarding our first real experiences of contact,
uh-huh.
particularly the nature of contact that's occurring in the world at this time.
Well, the first experience, formal, recognized, acknowledged worldwide contact, is obviously so loaded with potential disinformation, lying, corruption. We'll never know the truth, those of us, the average man and woman on the planet, if this contact is being properly represented, or if this alleged contact is in fact being staged by some of the dark folks who are currently running much of the planet. We just won't know. That's the tough part.
Well, so many things, as you mentioned, come into play that muddy up the water, and I think that's why the Allies briefings were given, why they were called to provide this kind of service.
Yeah.
And it's important to note that the Allies make very clear through both sets of briefings that they seek not to have any contact or set up diplomatic relations with us. They're only mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. to observe and to provide counsel.
Well, that sounds good to me. Stand by. We'll be right back and continue. The Allies of Humanity, an urgent message, books one and book two. Marshall Summers is my guest. Don't go away. Summers and the Allies of Humanity, the two briefings they've given to us through Marshall in three sessions. Any further contact from them since the last briefing?
Well, they've been forced to leave the area after the first book was published, and this is described in the Allies preface to the second set of briefings, how with the publication of the first set of briefings, the intervention began to hunt them, and they had to leave, and that is why the second book was given in a 24-hour period, in a feeling of great haste, I think, as if they were on the run.
All right. Do you have any idea what kind of extraterrestrial beings these were? Did they ever give any indication of their physiology, of their whole...
No. In fact, they make a point to say that they are not important. What is important is the information that they can impart to us, and certainly how we understand that information and to what degree we can put it to use. So,
well, first of all, it has to be disseminated to enough people, or it might as well not be here.
That's right. And we certainly don't want to be in a situation of worshiping extraterrestrials whom we don't know and have never met. So, But I think they made a real point of keeping that a mystery even for me, because, you know, that kind of identity can be revealed perhaps at a later time when humanity has reached a more mature state, greater species maturity. For right now, we're still warring with each other, and given the great waves of change that are coming to our world, with resource depletion and global warming and environmental degradation, pandemic disease, all these great waves of change that seem to be converging at this time, at this critical time, it is really important that we stay focused on what we have to do here, because I think, if anything, the briefings are really a call for human awareness and responsibility. Because I'm sure, as you know, the extraterrestrial phenomenon is extremely provocative and intriguing, and it can take us away from the things we really need to know and to do. And yet it is also a part of our future. It is our future. Our future is going to be in space. Contact is now a reality. It's going to continue for better or for worse. We've hit the point where contact is now underway and will remain so.
How long can this tawdry, shameless cover-up by this alleged government we have now continue? It's been going on for 60, 70 years. I mean, anybody who studies the information, watches the data flow, knows that that things are going on here constantly. How long can the charade of non-visitation be upheld by these people?
Well, as long as you keep the people focused on being over-consumers and to keep them in a state of fear about world events.
They're getting a dose of that 27 hours a day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you basically occupy their psychic space, and, you know, this appears, it's just out of the box for them.
Right. That's what they're doing. That's a very good way to phrase it. I haven't thought of it like that. The ruling globalist elite, in their own minds, scum in my minds, are occupying with propaganda, with diversions, with misdirection, constantly the psychic space of most people. That's a very, they're filling what would otherwise be a vacuum, because most people aren't psychically oriented toward living. It is, some are, but they don't know. So this great, incredible potential is being packed full of crap.
Yeah.
To keep people from really being able to access the necessary tools with which to assimilate the material you've been presenting and other facts and data that that we've talked about for a long time. Okay, let's get down to some specifics. Talk about Book One. What did the Allies of Humanity tell you about the visitation that's going on here? And obviously it has been going on for quite some time. Touch on any topics that come to mind, the abduction, the hybrid issue, and on, because obviously when you take someone against their will and violate them in some pretty grotesque fashions, and we have evidence that people have been taken away and never returned, it goes on and on. This is not a kind and benevolent interaction on the planet.
Well, that's absolutely correct. In fact, the Allies, in the first set of briefings, outline four areas in which the intervention is functioning in the world. And these four areas are all interrelated, and they're all part of a larger plan, particularly as was talked about in the second set of briefings, that as the world goes into a greater state of potential conflict, uncertainty, and instability, the intervention is helping to drive it there and is encouraging leaders of government and religion to help drive it there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be put in a position of such need and urgency that the intervention then can present itself as our saviors and benefactors. And the seeds of that deceptive thinking is being planted, has been planted for years and continues to be planted for years. But the four areas of intervention that the Allies highlight, I'll go through them very briefly, and then we can talk about any of them in depth.
Mm-hmm.
Influencing individuals in positions of power. Now, that's not all individuals in positions of power, but certain individuals, and often the Allies mention that these are individuals that are outside the public arena.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not necessarily elected officials.
Okay.
They're not people that, whose faces we would ever recognize, but who hold great sway over elected officials and mm-hmm. over commerce.
The string pullers.
Mm-hmm. The string pullers, the chief advisors.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals who may have the ear of a religious leader or a
well, or control leader. Over.
Or control, but certainly as influencers.
Right.
Even if they themselves do not exercise the control.
And the people being influenced may not understand that they are being influenced by ET visitation.
Well, that's very right. And so that creates a real problem regarding the government. The only thing that the Allies have said about the government, they don't talk about things topically, I think, because these briefings are meant to serve us for the decades to come, and so they don't really talk about individuals in government. And they really don't know. I mean, they've just been, you know, receiving all our transmissions, and which really must be something for them. And
I think.
all of our television and
amazing
radio. I'm sure they're listening to your show, Jeff.
Amazing they bothered to show up at all.
However, you know, it's a very complex thing. And the one thing that they have said is that they're individuals in positions of power
mm-hmm.
who are aware of the intervention and who
mm-hmm.
oppose it,
mm-hmm.
and there are individuals in positions of power who are aware of it and who support it.
Have deals been made?
The Allies don't talk about that, but I do suspect that's been the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fascinating. Back in just a minute as we continue. These books are very well worth reading. In fact, they're indispensable reading if you care about the direction we're going, and to hear the Allies suggest that this material is to be used in the decades ahead would give some, at least temporal hope that we are going to be around longer than some suspect with the utter collapse of the environment, the ecosystems. Politically and morally, we're eroding fast, and well, we'll see. Time will tell. Back in just a couple of minutes as we continue. Summers, the Allies of Humanity. All right, this first session, now, for those who don't have the books and who may not get the books, there's many in here. A Great Warning. There are ways to bring information forward, I need to get this clarified. Are you, in a verbatim sense, putting down what they tell you, or are you receiving concepts, thoughts, general data, and you are putting it through your conscious filter and speaking it in your own conscious paradigm?
Well, I will tell you very clearly that when you read these books, you are reading the words of the Allies.
Okay. You follow my point.
I do. I certainly do. And I think it's an important point because these were being given to be delivered in a pure form. And the only editing we did was to put to arrange proper sentence structures, particularly in a readable fashion.
And paragraphs, of course.
And paragraphs, yeah. And punctuation. And,
sure. That's not easy. It's an art, by the way.
And I have a wonderful editor who's a real, she's an English teacher, and she's she's really excellent with grammar, far better than I. But yes, you're reading their words.
All right, let me read a little bit of their words here. This is the third briefing, a great warning. We have been anxious to speak more with you regarding the affairs of your world and to help you come to see, if possible, what we are seeing from our vantage point. We realize this is difficult to receive and will cause considerable anxiety and concern, but you must be informed. The situation is very grave from our perspective, and we think it would be a tremendous misfortune if people were not informed correctly. There is so much deception in the world that you live in, and in many other worlds as well, that the truth, though apparent and obvious, goes unrecognized, and its signs and messages go undetected. We therefore hope that our presence can help clarify the picture and help you and others to see what is truly there. We do not have these compromises in our perception, for we were sent to witness the very things that we are describing. Over time, perhaps you will be able to know these things on your own, but you do not have this kind of time. The time now is short. Humanity's preparation for the appearance of forces from the greater community is far behind schedule. Many important people have not responded, and the intrusion into the world has accelerated at a far greater pace than was originally thought to be possible. We come with little time to spare, and yet we come with encouragement for you to share this information. As we have indicated in our previous messages, the world is being infiltrated and the mental environment is being conditioned and prepared. The intention is not to eradicate human beings, but to employ them, to have them become workers for a greater collective. The institutions of the world and most certainly the natural environment are valued, and it is the preference of the visitors that these be preserved for their use. They cannot live here, and so to gain your allegiance, they are employing many of the techniques that we have described. We will continue in our description to clarify these things. Our arrival here has been thwarted by several factors, not the least of which is a lack of readiness of those whom we must reach directly. Our speaker, the author of this book, is the only one with whom we have been able to establish a firm contact, so we must give our speaker the fundamental information. All right, we'll pick it up from there, and let's go through the Great Warning.
Well, the Great Warning certainly is alerting us to a series of events beyond our public awareness and often our private awareness. And I mentioned there were four levels of the intervention, and as we began to talk about the first, the influencing individuals in positions of power, you brought up an important point about government cover-up. But the thing that we haven't really been looking at sufficiently is the extraterrestrial cover-up. We can certainly, I think, understand why government leaders would want to hide something like this and various motives for doing that. But the extraterrestrial cover-up, the need for clandestine activities, for doing things behind our back, to do things that where we have no choice in the matter, to violate ourselves, our airspace, our nations, to intrude upon us such an unwarranted fashion, are the questions that really have to be answered, and it certainly we have to concern ourselves with those. But it's an interesting thing that the UFO conferences that I have spoken at and have attended rarely ever address these questions. And they focus purely on government cover-up, you know, the evil government and its odious behavior. And the extraterrestrial is just always assumed to be benign and positive and beneficial.
Big mistake.
And it's amazing. And you can see the kind of influence even there. In fact, it's really pronounced in these environments where intervention is just assumed to be a good thing. And the government and human ignorance is just standing in the way. So we have this kind of conditioning of the way we approach this problem. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the intervention has been doing as part of this fourfold plan is recruiting a network of representatives and apologists. Now, not everyone who is in favor of intervention has undergone this kind of influence. Some people just think that anything is better than what we have. In fact, I've heard people say that to me. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But when you look at it, the intervention has many advocates and few critics. And certainly,
many advocates and few critics.
And very few critics.
Well, some of them, I think, are blinded by the fascination of it all.
They don't
go deep enough.
Well, we're certainly wide-eyed. And
we
project upon life in the universe with all of our hopes and fears and aspirations.
Well,
but
everyone,
Marshall, excuse me,
but the people who have come on this program, and there haven't been many of them because I try to avoid them, and tell us that our space brothers are here to benevolently lead us from the darkness into the light. And I say, come on. Look, if there is anything to the abduction phenomenon, hundreds of thousands of people's lives have been ruined, destroyed to one degree or another. They've been taken away against their will, violated horribly, given screen memories and mental blocks to keep them from recalling this horror. And many of them live lives of quiet and maybe not so quiet desperation for the rest of their lives.
That's
they never
right.
talk to anyone. Their lives have been ruined. I call this spiritual, psychic, and often physical rape. I find it to be a deplorable, despicable, unacceptable. And whoever these people are that are here, and there are apparently a number of different groups, many of them are clearly exploiting us to their whim and whimsy.
And that's right. And amazingly, the very things that you're mentioning are rarely brought up in the conferences that I've attended. And when they are, the person who, the presenter or the individual who brings them up is often vilified as being negative or fear-mongering, when in reality they're asking the fundamental questions. Who is visiting us? I mean, imagine for a moment, you don't let anyone into your home unless you know who they are.
Yeah.
Unless they've stated their identity and their purpose and you've accepted to allow them in.
And you have the right to keep them out.
That's right.
But not with ET, apparently.
Well, the world is our home, and we are not exercising those rights. In fact, we're just treating this as a phenomenon or an adventure in consciousness, or, you know, it's really not getting the kind of response it deserves from enough people. And I know there are some researchers out there who are really, really questioning the purpose and the nature of this extraterrestrial reality. And I think we have to be extremely cautious. And part of the purpose of the Allies' message is really to kind of reactivate a natural, instinctive wisdom that we have about intruders. I mean, these are intruders. I mean, they are not; they have not been invited in. They are not here with our permission. They are not functioning as gracious guests. And they're clearly taking advantage of everything that they can and everyone they want. And so anyway, here we are facing an intervention and not a visitation. And how can we know what this intervention is and who is behind it and what its motives are? Well, it's very hard for us down here on the ground to be able to fill in all those spaces, to have a really clear picture. And once when I was being interviewed, I mentioned to the host that the UFO phenomenon is not a mystery. And she was really shocked because it had to be a mystery. But to me, it's not a mystery. It's an event in nature. It's called competition for environment, competition of species. The natural event, not an inexplicable event. I mean, we can learn from interventions that have occurred throughout our own human history and from watching nature itself that species will come and try to displace others. And until proven otherwise, I think we need to take this very wise, very fundamental, very natural world approach. But that's not what people are doing with this, even the few people who are aware of it.
Right, right.
So I think this is really meant to give us a warning, but also an affirmation that we have the strength and the ability to deal with this, and it is our responsibility to do so.
Well, we need to throw off the yoke of fascist oppression before we can do anything.
That's right. I mean, this is a freedom movement of the kind that could unite the whole world, because there's no one in the world, there's no government, there's no elite group, there's no religion that is going to benefit from this intervention. We all face the same fate. And clearly, you know, the constant tribal warfare and the growing religious warfare we're seeing in the world today coupled, you know, with the degradation of our environment and the loss of our resources, is going to put us into a very critical situation.
Well, we're critical now, if not terminal in some ways. Stand by. We'll come back and find out more about what the allies have described as our visiting interventionists who are here playing games and then some, retooling the planet to serve their interests, using us as biological toys and supplies, and many other things which we ought to be raising holy hell about. I'm still concerned about when contact is acknowledged by the powers that be, how will we know what they're acknowledging? The truth? Hollywood sci-fi scenario? Some melodrama? It'll be used, no doubt, to continue to instill fear in people one way or the other. That's my guess. Back with more in a few minutes.